right, we are back. I'm Janine. You are listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine, and this is Get the Funk Out. And my next guest is LA-based filmmaker and editor Ryan Larkin. He is here to talk about the new film, Janice Ian, Breaking the Silence. I also want to mention that Varda Barkar is an award-winning producer, director, and writer. She was the director on this film. If her name sounds familiar, she's been on my show several times. And I'm really excited about this film, and we're going to bring Ryan on right now. Good morning, Ryan.
Good morning.
Thanks so much for calling in.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
When I saw that Varda was working on this, I was so excited because I mentioned I saw Janice Ian perform years ago when I lived on the East Coast, and I'm pretty sure it was Newport Folk Festival. I love seeing her perform, and then I heard about this film, and it's so exciting.
She's a captivating performer. Some of our interviewees in the film comment on this, but, you know, even when she's singing, you know, at a low volume, like, the room just gets quiet enough to hear a pin drop. She really just enchants the audience.
So tell me about how this film came to be, when the initial idea started. Was it in the pandemic? When did it happen?
Yes, I know that Varda had an experience after coming off of two music docs that she had done, Big Voice and Fandango at the Wall, where she wanted to do another film that, you know, was in that kind of music doc space, but something that was a little bit more personal to her. And she felt a tremendous personal connection to Janice Ian, stemming back, you know, to her youth when she first heard some of Janice's most famous music. She brought me in during the pandemic when she and I were chatting about Janice's book, The Autobiography Society's Child. Varda was telling me about a just incredible story from that book where Janice, as a child star, showed real courage in standing up to a group of hecklers who were targeting her because of the subject matter of her early, you know, breakout hit, which was about an interracial relationship. I read the book and I just knew that this was a very special story. And she and I kind of, the conversation continued from there.
That's amazing. And how long did it take to complete the film?
The film, well, because we started off with a, like, 20-minute proof of concept to, you know, show the artist herself exactly what we were going to do with her story and then raise money, the film's been in the works for 3 years. Since 2021, when we completed the proof of concept and then, you know, we started editing the film in earnest, 2022. The proof of concept was folded into the final film, so I think I can include it all as one big work period. But, yeah, it's 3 years in the making.
Now, has Janice been kind of quiet about her backstory up till now?
She has talked about it in the autobiography, and, you know, to within her circles of fans, within her masterclass, you do see, like, you know, glimpses of it. But her story, and this is one of the thrusts of the film, her story is not nearly as well known as it should be. You know, she was, she's a legendary artist who, like, you know, came up around the same time as household names like Bob Dylan and Bruce Springsteen. She has these three big arcs in her career that, you know, kind of speak to her willingness to speak truth to power at key moments in American history. And yeah, I'm just glad that, you know, this film is helping to her to become, you know, her story to become known a little bit more widely.
I also feel like you talk about speaking truth to power, that the film is timely because of all the things going on in society, and I feel that it'll really resonate with a lot of people.
I definitely agree. You know, with all of the social movements that Janice's music kind of fits into, you know, the civil rights movement, the LGBTQ rights movement, these are things that are in some ways under attack right now. And Janice took stances on these issues that were very unpopular at the time. And part of the reason her music was so powerful is because it's exactly when it's not popular to speak, you know, to speak those truths that it becomes more important than ever to do so.
Well, and even, you know, knowing a little bit about her backstory, as you said, you know, this wasn't something that people talked about. They weren't open necessarily about their sexuality, their struggles, and I feel that more and more Gen Z, especially, they're more vocal, which is wonderful. And I, you know, I think it promotes not spending your life hiding.
I definitely agree. And with Janice, it was Janice, I don't think ever like set out to become this icon that she eventually became. It's just that as you watch, you know, Janicean Breaking Silence, you see all of the ways in which persecution, the LGBTQ community, kind of affected her throughout her entire career. From baseless rumors about her with her, you know, childhood friends, who Bill Cosby accused of being, you know, he saw them, like, just sitting together backstage and accused them of being lesbian lovers, nearly got her blacklisted from TV forever. And then, you know, rumors about her sexuality published in the Village Voice in the 70s nearly derailed her at the height of her career. Like, these moments just kind of made her realize how important it was to take a stance on this issue.
Definitely. So tell me about the process of creating the film and your role, because there was a lot that went into it. There was archival footage, photography, interviews, etc.
Yeah, the process started with Varda coming to me with this massive 32-page document that basically outlined every significant beat from Janice's life that she had gleaned both from the autobiography and her conversations with Janice. And the process really began in earnest when Janice trusted us with her collection of personal photos, you know, photos from throughout her career, but also her personal life, her family, you know, her friends, all of those quiet little moments that don't usually get, you know, a lot of eyes on them. And we went through all of that material, her old songbooks too, and we kind of saw what was speaking to us, like what bullet points from Varda's original list, you know, some of them started small but became much bigger because we realized that to Janice, some things had outsized significance, even if they weren't, like, you know, giant career moments for her, which are also in the movie too. But yeah, and then the edit process was really about kind of forging all of this disparate material into a coherent narrative. And one of my favorite elements of that is that even though the film is grounded by a narration track from Janice, who's like telling you her story, her narration track is comprised of recordings of her from different points throughout her career. So sometimes it's her teenage self telling the story. Sometimes it's her at 30. Sometimes it's her, you know, in the present day. And that kind of really does give this impression that you're growing with her through the times. And it's really something special. I'm really glad that Varda made the decision to do that.
I love that. If you're just tuning in, I'm speaking with LA-based filmmaker and editor Ryan Larkin, and he's talking about the new film, Janice Ian, Breaking Silence. It's another great Varda Barkar film. She was on my show a while back. What else would you like us to know about the film without giving too much away?
The film really will change the way you hear Janice's music, because while Janice's music is compelling in its own right, knowing the context you know, of her personal life and knowing the context of the times really adds so much context and so much value that it really does it really does change everything about the way, you know, you can appreciate her music. I've just been completely blown away. Songs like Stars, especially songs like, you know, Some People's Lives, which is a huge beat in the film. Just extraordinary significance.
Now, was Janice performing continually, or did she pause in her career?
She had some significant pauses due to personal setbacks. She, during the early stages of her career, when she was still extremely young, a teenager, she left the public eye. She effectively had a breakdown caused by the sheer amount of hate that was being directed at her over the song Society's Child and just the pressure to constantly keep cranking out new hits. You know, despite all of this stuff, you know, she's getting bottles thrown at her and they're asking her where the next song is. And then, like, yes, later on in her life, there was another period where she dropped out because she had her money stolen from her by, you know, a shady accountant who betrayed her trust. She was in an abusive relationship with her ex-husband Tino, and yeah, she came back from that, you know, from having literally nothing, no money. She and her, you know, current wife Pat mortgaged their house to finance the, you know, completely groundbreaking album Breaking Silence, which, you know, went on to be nominated for a Grammy, even though it had like none of that studio support behind it when it was coming together. So, yeah, she's just a very extraordinary person.
That's fantastic. And where does she reside?
She resides, well, I guess I can't say.
No, don't give me your address, but is she East Coast or is she West Coast?
She's East Coast.
East Coast, okay, because Like I said, I saw her years ago when I lived in Brookline, Massachusetts, and I loved it. I had never heard of her before. I'd heard the song at 17, but I didn't really know her as an artist until I went to the folk festival.
Yes, and that's a lot of people know her for At 17, Society's Child, but it's when you kind of like look past the surface and like kind of see, see exactly what kind of career she's had that she becomes someone who you really have to listen to, because she's just had such an interesting life that's kind of been so intertwined with the key social movements of the eras in which she's lived.
I love how what she stands for is so relevant now.
100%. And that's what I was saying. It's like you gain an appreciation for both, the history that she represents, but also the values that she brings to the present day when you listen to her music.
Well, that is also a testament to Varda 100%. Bakar, because the kinds of films that she, aligns with are so moving. Big Voices, Fandango at the Wall, both films featured on my show. For those who are not familiar with her, I did put a link on my show blog, getthefunkoutshow.kuci.org. I just want to give a shout out to her. She considers herself an artivist filmmaker who at an early age was swept up in the Jewish diaspora. Her family moved constantly. By age 10, she'd lived on 3 continents. And all this experience gave her this global perspective, which I really appreciate in her filmmaking. And I love that her films are all about, music and these women. And it just, they really stay with you.
Varda's got a really good instinct for people. She's, a natural documentarian in that people feel comfortable speaking to her about things that they wouldn't necessarily open up to other people about.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because that they can tell she's genuinely interested in them. She approaches, difficult subjects without judgment. She asks the right follow-up questions when she hits on a topic that is complicated.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I have the utmost faith in Varda's ability to connect to the heart of any given issue.
That's great. Now, I did put the trailer on the show blog so people can head over to getthefunkoutshow.kuci.org. The film is hosted by Greenwich Entertainment. Where are people going to be able to see the film and when?
Yes, the theatrical release is being managed by Greenwich Entertainment, and it's in several cities right now. So I know that they just completed a series of in-person events with Janice and herself at Q&As on the West Coast. But PBS's American Masters will also be screening it, so that will be coming soon. I know that Varda's still in discussions for additional distribution. That's pending. But right now, the most immediate way to see it is to look up Janice and Breaking Silence screenings happening near you.
Okay. Tell me more about you. Tell me about your backstory, how you became an editor.
Sure. Varda and I are both alums of Cornell, they have a film program that has a documentary focus. And she was something of a mentor to me when I first moved out to Los Angeles after college. She and I have collaborated a few times. I worked on a small piece for AIDS Walk that, she reviewed the cut. She gave me some thoughts about it, really appreciated her on that. But the really key moment was when we had to cut a little documentary short together for the founder of AIDS Walk, kind of summarizing the event's history, the history of the activists involved. And we had a very, very short amount of time to do that. My pulling that together in that short time in a way that really pleased the attendees of the event, the people behind, that particular piece, I think that's what gave Varda the trust in me needed to have that initial conversation about assembling Janice and Breaking Silence.
That's great. I do want to mention, I wanted to ask you this earlier. So in the film, Breaking Silence, Janice and Breaking Silence, do you include little clips of other friends of hers and collaborators? I thought I read Lily Tomlin, Joan Baez.
Yes, there are some big names. Joan Baez, Lily Tomlin, of course. There's also Arlo Guthrie. Basically her collaborators from throughout her career, some of her family members, many of whom are never seen on camera and thus add a whole bunch of, world building and color to the story. And yeah, it's just an interesting mix of people that come in during different parts of the story to kind of flesh out the larger historical context under which all of these events are unfolding.
It's super exciting. I can't wait to see the film. Will there be an LA screening?
Yes. I mean, there have been a few.
Okay.
The Lemel NoHo, the Lemel Monica. They might still be ongoing. I'd have to check, but I know that this past weekend was a big one for them.
Okay. Well, let me know and I'll post it on the show blog. That would be great.
Yes, absolutely.
And one last question. Tell me about your life as an editor on a film. I mean, is this something you've wanted to do for years? And how did you learn the craft? Tell me more about that.
The funny thing is, I never billed myself as a documentary editor specifically. I'm a filmmaker more generally. In my day job, I work on short form content as part of BMP Creative. You know, I make a lot of the content for Netflix's YouTube, Instagram accounts. I've done some work for Lionsgate. But the reason why I kind of moved into the doc space is really because I found a story that I really connected with, that I really liked. And I think that's the mark of a good documentary. Like, even someone, whether you're editing them or whether you're viewing them, even if you don't, like, you know, watch them all that often, if you find a story that really makes you go, huh, I really have to know what happens next, then regardless of what your usual habits are, you kind of are drawn to do that. And
sure.
that's really what's happened to me.
That's amazing. Do you feel like you are changed in some way as a result of working on this film?
Oh, certainly. I think I learned a lot, both technically and personally, just by kind of engaging with the sheer amount of history and nuance in this particular story. There were an infinite number of directions that we could have gone in with this film, especially because it's a collage movie where, you know, there's so much archival material, there's recreations, there's interviews, there's like all of this like audio. I know we even, speaking of radio shows, that we used clips from Allison Steele's radio show.
Wow.
In the film and built a scene around that.
Okay.
But yeah, kind of that decision-making process and really thinking about the most authentic way to depict Janice's life was transformative for me. It's something that has caused me to appreciate the ways in which stories can be told, the less conventional ways in which stories can be told while still conveying an emotional truth.
Yes. Did your editing change as, like, did you have a vision for how you wanted to edit? And then as it unfolded and you had all these great interviews, you had new ideas?
Well, yeah, that was interesting because we edited a radio version first. We call it
okay.
a radio version. It's an audio-only version.
Okay.
Basically, we completely switched off all of the video tracks and just focused on forming the strongest possible narration with Janice's audio and her and the interviewee's audio first. And then we went back, switched on all the, like, you know, started looking at the footage and then thought, okay, so we've got a storyline that's really working just with audio. What is the best way to approach this visually?
Sure.
And we knew that we wanted to do this collage style, but the exact form that could take was a process of, you know, figuring out what would work. Like, how literal should we be? What pace should we go at?
Mm-hmm.
There are times when Janice is talking about her songwriting, and we decided to use line art animation based on experiments that we had done using some found material that I just layered, you know, in Premiere, and kind of came up with these, like, rough animations that a wonderful animator later kind of created polished versions of. That was a really incredible process. It was just this kind of exercise in thinking outside the box and thinking, okay,
mm-hmm.
she's talking about something we have no archival coverage of.
Yes.
And we don't have the and recreating this is not practical, you know, for, you know, original mood shots. So what is another creative way that we can show this that will feel emotionally true? And that was probably my favorite part of working on it.
So did you have a lot of creative freedom to think outside the box in your role?
100%.
Oh, I love
and
that.
And that's one of the one of Varda's strengths as well. She has a plan,
mm-hmm.
but she's not so locked into one way of doing things that she won't entertain other ideas. That's one of the reasons why she was open to things like, you know, using line art animation for the songbooks.
Yes.
One of the reasons why, during a very tough scene when Janice is discussing her relationship with her abusive husband, mm-hmm. Rather than pair that with mood shots that we did have of the husband being abusive, we paired it with footage of them dancing at their wedding.
Nice.
And that was really beautiful. It was something that I thought really, really worked, and she agreed upon seeing it.
That's great. And that is such a testament to Varda as a creative visionary to also let people, you know, have their say. And I do mental health advocacy work, and I say that students are the engine and I just build the frame. And it's just important to let people do that.
Yes, I agree. And it's what keeps them, like, eager to come back and work with you again.
Mm-hmm. And you get to grow. You get to test out ideas. You know, your ideas are not, they're valid, right? And you get to share them and see what works, what doesn't. And you have a voice. It's great.
Certainly. And there was another avenue with this particular film where, along with Varda and her daughter Paloma, I was also doing research. Basically, I was searching for, like I mentioned, that recording of Allison Steele earlier. I found that from an online archive where it wasn't even labeled, like, this is Allison Steele talking about Janice Ian.
Mm-hmm.
They just had a large, large library of her recordings, and I went to the approximate, you know, date range that she would have been talking about this, because one of the interviewees in the film, one of Janice's old, engineers, Brooks Arthur, talks about how Allison Steele, the Nightbird, would play the Stars album, like, just the entire album on her radio show. And
wow.
I knew she must be a fan. So I went back to that period of time and actually found the moment where she was doing that.
That is great. See, good detective work.
Yes.
That's what it takes, too.
I guess I would say that.
Yeah, you have to have an open mind and be open to, you know, exploring different things. And that's great. I love it. So where can people find out more about the film and you?
Well, with me... you can go to vimeo.com/RyanLarkinFilm. For Janice Ian Breaking Silence, there's a website, janiceiandocumentary.com, that I would recommend checking. Varda has a screening schedule there that I believe she's updating regularly. There's also an Instagram page for it. So, yes, Janice Ian Breaking Silence and janiceiandocumentary.com.
Fantastic. Ryan, I want to thank you so much for calling in. Congratulations on the film. I look forward to seeing it.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
You too. Bye-bye. That was Ryan Larkin, LA-based filmmaker and editor, known for his award-winning short films and social video content. He has directed several episodes of the Emmy-winning Behind the FX digital series for Netflix. He won the IBM Media Prize at AT&T Shape 2018 and won Best Narrative Short in the popular On Location contest from New Filmmakers Los Angeles 2019. Ryan's portfolio also includes work for Lionsgate, BuzzFeed, Visible, and AIDSWalk. His favorite Janice Ian song is Stars. You can find out more about the film, the Janice Ian Breaking Silence film, and watch the trailer on the show blog, getthefunkoutshow.kuci.org. And that is a wrap for me. I'm Janine. You've been listening to Get the Funk Out. Up next, Pass Forward, SoCal New Waver. And I'll be back next week. If you want to find out about being a guest again, you can send me an email to Janine, J-A-N-E-A-N-E, at KUCI.org. And if you're not familiar with KUCI, head over to our website, KUCI.org. Check out our socials, KUCI-FM. And have a great week, everyone. I'll be back next Wednesday at 9. Take care.